doing the whole 6010.
Into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Monday, March 4th. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined, like I was last week, by Mike Clay and Field Yates. Guys, it is great to see your faces for a second week in a row. Field, how you doing, buddy?
We're streaking. We've made it two straight Mondays. We are officially streaking. For those that are listening to the podcast, not actually streaking, but if you had to live with that visual for about 3 seconds, my apologies.
I think
congratulations.
Yeah. Would the ratings go up or down?
Ratings would go way up. Way up.
Way up.
Yeah. Yeah. Go way up.
Okay. Yes. We would be number probably top five in the adult comedy charts.
Well, hold on. No one cares about the comedy charts. Yeah. All they care about is the fact that no matter what we're rated, we are rated so far ahead of the fantasy footballers.
That's what it's all about.
Just to be very
clear.
So far ahead. And those guys even exist anymore?
I don't know. I think after we took them down with our wrath last week, they just canceled the show.
They shut it down.
Wow. Okay. Like, well, congratulations to those guys on a great run.
Yeah.
And it's impressive. All that.
Best of luck in your next endeavors. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think I saw that like SNL Saturday night got like really good ratings.
And really?
There may have been a reason for that. So maybe we need to be a little more risque on the show.
I'm into that. You know something, Mike? I think people probably prefer not to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. You guys said the ratings would go up, though, if we were streaking. So
okay.
I'm saying, there's something.
I'll take my shirt off. You don't even need to ask.
Yeah, that's true. You do that voluntarily. That's it. You just assume your shirt's coming off, and then we're like, no, it's okay.
Daniel, put your shirt back on. We're in public. Hey, we got a big show today. We got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. Fields, you've been at the freaking NFL Combine. Can't wait to prick your brain on a couple of those guys that you've seen out there. Plus, we have 9 burning questions right now for the three of us. We eat 3 things into the offseason. We just got some questions about where we're at. But first and foremost, I want to say congratulations to a teammate.
Yes.
ESPN Fantasy has been made so much better by Liz Loza coming over and joining our team this last year. Last week. She won the best ongoing football series for Facts versus Feelings at the FSWA Award, at FSWA's, And she has just been awesome. Facts versus Feelings is an amazing column, and I've loved working with Liz. She is one of my favorite people, no offense to you guys, to be able to work with because she is so much fun. It's
literally none taken. She's definitely cooler than us.
She is, this is the thing. Some people can come in and they got to figure out where they're at. Liz came in and it felt like she just clicked right from the jump. It has been so great to be able to have you a part of the team, Liz. I just want to say congratulations because, this is what it's all about. I love being able to have coworkers that I can celebrate. And you guys as well are awesome. But Liz crushed it with Facts versus Feelings.
Yeah.
So, much richly deserved. Sorry for dragging you down here, Liz. But we're thrilled for you. Every time, it was actually great this past season. We probably had Liz visit campus 4, maybe 5 times. And the energy was just a little bit different for those 4 to 5 day stretches that she visited Bristol. It certainly made everybody that much more excited to be at work. And I felt like we were always way more social when Liz was around, which I think is a big credit to her. It was like every time Liz was in town, it might have aligned with someone's birthday, but it was always like we're out at a very particular bar that we seem to always flock to now on the ESPN Fantasy
side.
So, absolutely. And by the way, every time she's here and did the pod, Field immediately after would go to management and say, we can move here and kick Mike off, right? I just want you to know that I know about that. I wasn't holding it against you, but I'm aware of that. So
I wasn't sure you knew about those meetings.
I get it. I get it.
My brain's in a lot of places right now. I forget. Are we doing Focus Live anymore? Or is this tape that we can have an honest conversation?
Good vibes only. That's where we're at.
Yeah, but it wasn't where do I begin? It wasn't so much that I was saying that you're totally incapable.
Right.
I was just I've seen better.
It's just that Liz is better than
and
you.
And now I've seen Liz, and so I know what better looks like.
I thought totally incapable was an exact quote you used often. So that's weird that you put it that way.
Totally incapable. Also the name of a band that Daniel might have a concert for this upcoming Friday
night.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but they're
amazing.
Actually great musicians. They're very capable musicians,
Musicians. Yeah. Yes. Hey, shout out to Liz. Just want to say that. Congratulations on your award, kid. Also, congratulations to Mike Evans. That guy just got richer for the next 2 years. Staying in Tampa Bay, signed a 2-year deal worth $56 million, I believe. Is that correct?
This is one of those. So I hope the deal's worth $56 million fully guaranteed. I think I saw from Shefty it was $35 million guaranteed. But I got to tell you what. If we're stopping on $52 million, excuse me.
$52 million, there you go.
If we're starting free agency with a $26 million per year contract for a 31-year-old wide receiver, even a future Hall of Famer like Mike Evans, then let me tell you what. It is a good time to be an NFL NFL free agent, because mm-hmm. that money is going to be raining cats and dogs next week.
Yeah, happy for him. And the next card to fall, is that the expression?
Shoe to drop
will be Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
Got to get him a quarterback. And I assume he's probably confident they're going to have Baker or a good quarterback on their yes. roster if he's signing for 2 years, because he's yep. 31 years old, which means he has a couple of years left to make a Super Bowl run.
Should we start a Brady unretirement announcement rumor?
Yeah. I mean, he was better with Baker than Brady. So do we want that?
Wow.
Do you okay, want hold that? On. Like, if you have Evans on your dynasty team.
Yes. Listen, I'm done with my rivalry with the footballers. I just want to talk about Mike Clay saying that Tom Brady is worse than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, look, if I said that last offseason, that you would have been true. Able to say that I was totally
That's
incapable.
True.
Or whatever the line whatever. Was. So yeah, whatever so that good. Was. But now I think it's reasonable. I mean, he led the NFL in touchdown catches last year with Baker Mayfield, and he was terrific. So yeah, it's going to be tricky how to rank him.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 10 last year. Everything went right. The volume still wasn't there. It was a really touchdown base, big play touchdown base, but he was more consistent than he was the prior year with Tom Brady. So he's going to be an interesting one to rank, probably around top 20 in that range. I'm not going to rank him as high as he finished last year.
Yeah, I mean,
at age 31.
Yeah, that's good. Mike is confident they'll have a quarterback plan in place. We'll just wait to see what happens. When the chips fall, right?
There we go.
That's a good one.
And the Bucks have until, if you're listening to this on Monday, they have until tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time, to use the franchise tag. It would be easy to say that would be Baker. The problem is they also have Antoine Winfield as a free agent to be Winfield. Mm-hmm. One of the
more
great safety seasons in like the last 25 years in 2023, just off the charts production. But yes, if Mike Evans has a reasonable quarterback option, he will be a top 20-ish option in fantasy next season.
We're at that age now where like players we saw and we remember and we follow their entire career, their kids are now superstars in the NFL.
Right.
Like Winfield, yep. And we're seeing it at the draft now. You're at the combine, and of course, Jerry Rice's son was there, and
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Christian McCaffrey's brother, Marvin Harrison. Yeah, his son. So it's unbelievable.
A lot.
Frank Gore Jr.
I know.
Like, are you kidding me? Frank Gore was just playing.
I know. Literally retired like 2 years ago. Yeah, it's insane.
Unbelievable. But anyway, good for Mike Evans.
Speaking of things that are good, I am pumped about this episode because you just mentioned it. Field, because you had just mentioned it, Mike Field, you were at the combine. You got to see a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. Tell me, I want to ask you just a bunch of questions on what caught your eye while you were there. What did you listen to?
Hold on.
What
first thing first, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah.
Over under, how long were you there?
I was there for three nights.
Three nights, 2.5 steaks, over under.
Under.
Under 2.5? Under 2.5 steaks?
Under 2.5, yeah. Well,
no
here's
way.
Part of the problem. The first night that I flew into Indianapolis, both of my flights, as anybody who lives in Connecticut can attest.
Yeah, you have to connect. Yeah.
There's nowhere that goes direct from Connecticut. I think you can fly from Connecticut to Rhode Island direct, but it's also like a 30-minute drive.
That's true.
But both of my flights were delayed, so I got in very late on Wednesday night.
That'll
so just
you.
One steak total, just
that's
one.
It. Wow, that's impressive to pull that off, because it's basically just steak.
Well, I was training.
Meal.
Right, that's right. I was training for the combine, so I didn't want to have too much red meat in my body at the time.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah. Speaking of training, I noticed that you guys took Mina Kimes out for a little of.
We did. That was yes.
That seemed like it was a very fun time. What's the name of the shrimp sauce? That cocktail sauce.
St. Elmo's.
That's the spot. That's the steakhouse for the shrimp. That's what everyone does every meal.
All right, let's dive into the combine field. There's a bunch of guys that were there. I want to ask you just first and foremost, what caught your eye? I got a couple questions I want to ask you, but what caught your eye? What did you hear while you were there? There that maybe, hey, this is something to note for us within the fantasy side of things.
I mean, good Lord, is an unbelievable wide receiver class. I know that we've been talking about that for the past couple of months, but it was possible that we went to the combine and a few of the guys just didn't necessarily bring it like they were supposed to or needed to. Guys didn't run as fast as we expected them to, but for the most part, we had guys that actually ran even faster than we were expecting. And that includes, of course, Xavier Worthy from Texas, who is now the fastest man in combine history. The guy ran a 4.21. He, of course, from Texas. This wasn't a surprise in the sense that he ran extremely fast. It was a surprise only because it was the fastest 40 in combine history, right? Like, I don't think too many of us were betting on someone making history, because it's very, very hard to do. I'll still come back to, he's 165 pounds. The physical profile for a player like that is not particularly, like, there's not a lot of guys that have a track record of being 165 pounds, very fast and not very big, succeeding and crushing consistently in the NFL. But he might end up going in the first round as a result of that world-class speed.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about it, is we've been talking about all these wide receivers. We've done shows. We talk about them during the season, and he never was mentioned once.
Yeah.
And he literally goes in there and sets the 40-yard dash record. And by the way, also, if you look at the career of all of the prospects in this wide receiver class, all of them that were at the combine.
Yeah.
He's number one in share of targets and share of air yards during his career in college. Wow. I mean, big volume guy at that. That speed, and yeah, obviously the size is a concern, but we've seen it too. I mean, like Tyreek Hill's kind of small, and obviously last year Tank Dell, tiny receiver, that was a knock on him, and he had success in the pros. So he's going to be an interesting one for sure.
I got a list of guys. I want to ask you this question. Just off the top of your head. A list of guys that ran a sub 4.340 at the combine. Yeah. I want to ask you, is there anyone that stands out in your head that's like, you know what? That guy actually had fantasy value while also being a speedster because it doesn't always relate to the same thing.
Definitely the answer is not. A flat no.
There's one guy. There's one person that does. Okay. I'm a list. This is since 2014. Here are the wide receivers, though, that have run a sub 4.340.
Okay.
Xavier Worthy, who just did it. John Ross.
Nope.
Marquise Goodwin. Henry Ruggs. Jacoby Ford. J.J. Nelson. Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, a lot of
all the way around
situational guy. Yeah,
Only guy that ran a sub 4.340 that had any kind of fantasy relevance that I could find within the last 15 years was Chris Johnson, CJ2K.
Yep, and obviously a running
back. That's a different running back
path to consistent production. So it makes me nervous. I do not have my top 50 comes out on Wednesday. Xavier Worthy is not inside my top 32. So while I think there's a chance he ends up getting drafted in the first round, I do not have a first round grade, as it were, on him.
I'll tell you what. Who picks at the end of the first round?
The Chiefs, and obviously
that would be fun.
No doubt. If he goes to the Chiefs, then it would be incredible
That's
hype.
That's what he needs, though. He needs a fit like that where you can still, you know, you're still going to have a lot of Travis Kelce. Rasheed Rice could soak up a lot of targets, and then you have that guy.
Yeah, the Chiefs need speed, too. No two ways about that, especially after recently releasing Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Yeah. Is there a guy that you guys remember that is the biggest boom or bust, like, frustration for you within fantasy football in the recent years? Speaking of this wide receiver situation where it's like, man, 4.2140 sounds amazing, but that is kind of, Mike, like you had said, situational. Those are usually like boom bust kind of guys. It's not like a guy that's going to have consistent production. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone that stands out? To me, I'm just thinking about Gabe Davis. Years?
Okay, Gabe Davis would be sort of the archetype of it. Yeah. I guess like Mike Williams, we always talk about him, comes to mind.
Any 49ers? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I guess they were better this year.
Yeah. That's sort of in general.
49er. Yeah. Those would be some of the names. Yeah, I'd say it's too short of a career so far, but like maybe Jamison Williams will get on that track for better or worse.
I'm with you on that one. That's another one of those
guys. Jackson during certain years was kind of like that. There were some great years, obviously, for Deshaun, but there were some other years in which it was a little more yo-yo from one week to the next.
Yeah. All right, Field, that's not the only Texas wide receiver that we're going to talk about, though, because there's another guy,
rip through three wide receivers here, and you guys follow up with questions that you may have.
Can I ask when you're talking about these guys, just leading in?
Yeah.
Are these wide receivers like 5 through 10? Are these like outside the top five? Is this
all three of these wide receivers that I have will be inside my top 32?
Okay,
so inside my quote unquote first round grade.
Right. These next three guys. Drops.
These next three guys are. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas, over 6'2", 205 pounds, at a 4.35 40, jumped well. And this guy was awesome during his one season at Texas, kind of had a breakout year. He was at Georgia, and Georgia, because of the fact that they run the ball so well and they've got a lot of guys that can play, and Brock Bowers being the central point of that passing game for the past 3 years, especially the last two, there wasn't as much opportunity for A.D. Mitchell during two seasons at Georgia, but went to Texas, had a really, really good year. He is silky smooth. He had one drop this past season, a 1.1% drop rate, which for the 10 highest rated pass catchers on my personal board was by far the lowest. So reliable hands, very good route runner, not as much like body armor to break a bunch of tackles, but he is 6'2" plus 205 pounds, ran a 4.35. It's basically the same thing that happened with Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, who is the other LSU wide receiver along with Malik Nabers. He checked in and ran a 4.3 4.40. So he was just 1/100th of a second faster than A.D. Mitchell. And breaking the tie between these two is going to be totally beauty in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
Right? Teams are going to have these guys very close to each other in terms of how they're rated. Back in my first mock draft, I had Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Bills at 28. I would be very surprised if a player at his size with a 4.34 lasts all the way until pick 28. Yeah. So he might be more likely to go 18 than he is 28. It's a ridiculous wide receiver class. And then Xavier Leggett, who is sort of a breakout player this past year, coming into the 2023 season. Leggett had a total of 42 catches at South Carolina. He had 71 this past year. So absolutely crushed it in what was his fifth college season, which makes him a bit of an enigma to some people that are evaluating this class. Ran a 4.39 40. He used to be a standout kick returner for the South Carolina Gamecocks as well. So if you're looking for a guy who is big, physical, fast, and great after the catch, Leggett would certainly be one of the names that comes to mind.
Yeah, and he had the best speed score at the among wide receivers at the combine. He's 6'1", 221. He's bigger than the other two guys you just mentioned.
Like 15 pounds, yeah.
Running a four, I mean, he ran a 4.39. They ran a 4.33, or at least Thomas ran a 4.33, and he's he has a decent weight advantage. That's big, you know. Yep. Being able to run that well at that speed was impressive. So I'm with you there. By the way, these were all kind of like combine people who impressed at the combine. Mitchell, best broad jump at the combine as well. So all these guys. And Thomas had the second best speed score. So impressive group for sure. So you said Leggett is in your top 32?
Yeah.
No way. Okay, cool.
I mean, there's like seven wide receivers in my top 32.
I'm still working on my list. I had my initial, again, I'm still tuning this, so I'm not done, but I had him wide receiver 12. I had Worthy 11, Mitchell 6, Thomas 4 in my initial run. So that's interesting.
Yeah. It's a really, really tough class to size up because a lot of good ones. You had Mitchell 6, I'm assuming you had Keon Coleman somewhere in there, Ladd McConkey somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think, he's in there. You think he's 5, I want to say?
McConkey is, So, I mean, but I have McConkey ahead of Leggett in my top 32. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like 8 or 9 wide receivers in my top 32. That's so, unreal. Again, it's going to be a little bit of, so, and I don't want to, this is not copping out. This is, all right, if you're the Chiefs on the board at pick 32, there may be 3 different styles of wide receivers that you could be evaluating, right? There might be a guy that you want that's got incredible speed, like Xavier Worthy. There might be a guy who's got great size, like A.D. Mitchell, who probably won't be there anymore, right? There may be a guy like Leggett who kind of threads in between those two, right? Maybe it's Keon Coleman, who did not have a great 40 time, but has great physical presence about him. So this is going to be like going to the candy store, the ice cream shop, and deciding what flavor you want. It's not going to be as simple as like, this guy's consensus wide receiver 5, this guy's consensus wide receiver 6, 7, etc. It's going to be a total mishmash.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was just thinking about, man, like the Bucks paid all this money to Mike Evans, all this money, and you're like, man, but where they're picking, there's going to be a good receiver there. On the other hand, if all the other teams are taking receivers, someone might fall right into their lap at another position.
Yep,
that's
no
huge
doubt.
For them. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Well, and more, one where it's like, that's franchise legend stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And even with great wide receivers in the draft, there is something certain about Mike Evans that these guys do not bring to the table because they never played a game.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about this process is when
and
you're looking at this list of all these stars, like they're not all going to work out. Like maybe 3 or 4 of them will, but half of them, you know, you mentioned 8. Like 7, 8 first rounders.
Yep.
Half of them guys probably bust.
Totally.
Hopefully not, but that's the nature of the beast.
Hopefully not.
I hope not. But it's easy to be so optimistic about all of them, but it's just the nature of the beast.
Dude, if we're just talking about what they look like on a sheet of paper, there's a bunch of superstars that are out there. It's once they all have to translate it to the field, right, that we start being able to to figure out.
I mean, I know Jameson Williams has had a lot of different things going on, but Treylon Burks even, like guys like that, they look like they're going to just be Laquon Treadwell. I mean, he was the best player in college football that last year at Ole Miss. And it's unreal. And he's kind of hung 100%. On, but never lived up to that hype. So it's unreal.
Field, anything else when you look at that? Obviously, wide receiver was huge. Running back class, like, doesn't, you know, line up quite as nice as wide receivers.
Yeah, part of the problem is that Jonathan Brooks, who Mike told me before the show is the highest rated back on his board, would have been mine as well, tore his ACL in October. So we don't even know when he'll be ready to get back to 100%. So there were a couple of standouts from running back class. Trey Benson from Florida State blazed a 4.39. He was awesome this past season and the year prior to that as well. So Benson, I think, has a chance to be the first back taken, but this is not to be confused with last year's draft class at running back for sure.
Yeah. All right, then let's dive into our 9 burning questions that we brought to the table,
let's
guys.
Go.
First and foremost, though, if you have any other questions about the combine, about the draft, about anything that's set up, go check out First Draft with Field J. It's every single Friday. Field and Mel Kiper Jr. making
always fun,
making a bunch of good content.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcast.
That's right.
Or YouTube, ESPN2 on Mondays as well.
All that, all the good stuff.
Yeah, I think we're on right now, actually.
While we're doing the show right now? Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Double team it. All right, Mike, we're going to start with you. Your first question. 9 burning questions. That's a campfire in the background, in case you're wondering.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's what that is, yeah.
That's what's burning. I get it. Okay.
Yes.
My first question is, how high is too high for Anthony Richardson after what we saw from him last season?
Yep.
4 games he appeared in. Only 2 full games. The other 2, he played about 30% of the snaps. Guys, in those games, which it was basically 2.5 games total, okay? He had 7 touchdowns.
7 total?
7 total touchdowns.
Ridiculous.
He had 4 rushing touchdowns, which was 7th most among quarterbacks for the season.
Yeah.
He played 2 full games. He was incredible. Finished QB. His 2 full games, he finished QB2 in fantasy points and QB4 in fantasy points. The Colts offense was not what I expected out of the gate. They were very fast paced. They weren't afraid to throw the football. So it might be even more balanced than we expect. Not a super run heavy offense like we thought we might get from Richardson, considering he was a raw thrower. But he was impressive. He threw it well. He'll be inconsistent in that area, you would imagine. That's fine if he's going to do that sort of damage with his legs. But again, the offense was effective. He was scoring, again, 7 touchdowns in 2.5 games is incredible. So do we rank him top 5, top 7,
yes.
top 8? I mean, you start 5. Getting him into that. Okay, but if it's 5th, you're talking
in
Burrow, Herbert.
Correct.
Those got feet. Well, Fields, we'll see where he lands. But guys like that.
So, the people that I think are sort of like,
Mahomes.
Unquestionably ahead of him just because they've done it at a high level and they've been more available.
Hurts, Josh Allen, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Those 3.
Josh Allen. People are going to have a conversation about Mahomes versus Anthony Richardson this past year.
I'm debating him versus Lamar in that next spot. That's the big 4.
And Lamar finished incredibly strong, but obviously had a stretch this season where it was just fine. That's where I think he belongs. Is that...
That 5 spot?
Yeah.
I think that's the debate.
Of course, he's the riskiest of those 5 because A, the sample size is the smallest, and B, durability concerns.
Yep.
But we'll see whether those are more outliers from this past year or whether maybe Anthony Richardson... is going to always be battling injuries because of the style of play that he does play. But with that kind of rushing upside and the fact that it felt like every time they had the football from the 10-yard line in, at least 1 play call was quarterback drop. I was like, there's some baby Cam Newton stuff going on right now.
Even though they have Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, they're still allowing Anthony Richardson to get those goal line touches, which I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah.
I've got the way that I looked at this, Daniel Locks says QB3 is too high.
Okay.
QB9 is too low. Mm-hmm. QB4-8 is just right. He's going to be somewhere in that spot.
Yeah, I don't think I'd
go 4,
but 5.
I'm trying to figure out what Daniel Locks meant for a second. Yeah. I think anywhere between quarterback 3 and 5 is reasonable.
Really? You would put him over Lamar and Mahomes?
I mean, I think there's a case for it for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I think 5's the highest I would go right now. Could he be QB1? Absolutely.
Of course, yeah. It's risk. It's a much riskier play. It's a matter of how you want to address your quarterback option.
Yep.
And if you're in a league where quarterbacks go early, which we've seen more and more over the past couple of seasons, then he might drift down to quarterback 5. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a league in which quarterbacks tend to go a little bit later, then you can incur a little bit more risk because you're not using a 3rd round pick on Anthony Richardson. It might be a 5th or 6th round pick, and it's okay to go bolder because repercussions are less if you don't hit.
Mm-hmm. I think too. Do you want to go?
No, go ahead.
I think too, all of this for me, and I'm assuming with you guys too, this is totally under the premise that Michael Pittman is brought back and he is the number 1
receiver on this team.
You don't think what he does difference?
With his legs? I mean, yeah. Pittman, we expect to be back. Yeah.
I think the franchise tag coming in the next 25 hours and 7 minutes, be my guess.
But yeah, based on his play style and rushing ability, I think he'll be good. And by the way, I think there's going to be room for Taylor to have a huge season as well.
Yeah.
I think the efficiency will be great, and he could push for 10, 12 touchdowns even with Richardson tearing it up. So I'm feeling pretty optimistic about that situation. And part of it, again, is scheme, too. That fast-paced offense is huge. That could add 3, 4, 5 plays a game for them.
Totally.
That's big.
Yep. Fields, you're up next.
All right. My first burning question is, what do the Ravens do at running back? They keep talking about it all offseason. They've talked about how they need to have multiple backs added. So here would be the question. Do they bring back J.K. Dobbins?
If they free agent off the injury.
He's a free agent coming off of an injury, so I can't imagine his market will be robust. He's probably looking at a 1-year deal. If they bring him back, are we going to say J.K. Dobbins has the same upside that we have been trying to make happen the past few seasons? Probably not, right? It also could be reflected about how much money he gets. If it's a one-year deal worth, you know, up to $5 million with $2 million guaranteed, it probably tells us the Ravens are keeping their own expectations relatively modest. Or did they maybe go like, let's bring back Gus Edwards on a decent deal. We'll have Justice Hill around. We'll have Keaton Mitchell back off of injury. Maybe we draft a mid-round back, and it's kind of like where it was last year. No clear-cut star, but in the right role, like Gus Edwards hit last year, you could have a guy that could be useful even if you had to get lucky when you start him. Or door three. Mm-hmm. Do they go big game hunting? Because as we have talked about, there are lots of running backs. Yeah,
that's it.
And I don't mean big game hunting. I mean biggest game hunting as it pertains to the available running backs. Derrick Henry, a train, could take the train from Nashville to Baltimore. If they do that, imagine how excited we would be about D. Henry's value. That's
exactly what I wrote down on my sheet field. The obvious thing to me is Keaton Mitchell's speed, which is like 96.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking from a Madden perspective, right. And then you pair him with Derrick Henry, you're able to help. Yep. Like the idea of letting Lamar have just a few fewer carries. Think about the RPO situations with Keaton Mitchell and Derrick Henry. How are you going to be able to guard that? I think that would be an awesome setup.
That would be awesome. You could have Lamar, who can both pass and run at the goal line, and Derrick Henry, who can also run and pass.
Yes, that's a good point.
Exactly. At the goal line. So, yeah.
That's a good call. I'd like him in Philly, too. I've thought about that connection for a little bit, too. Maybe a one-year deal.
A little biased. What is worth? I think everybody wants Derrick Henry on their team, even if it's just like, that's not a bad idea.
I know he's 30, but man, he let the NFL in carries again last year. He can handle it. And didn't have a big workload early in his career either.
Nope. All right. My first burning question for the offseason is Justin Fields a top 10 fantasy quarterback in 2024?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Do you think so?
I do.
Think he will be.
Yeah, because I think he's going to be traded to a place that envisions him as their starter. That's a good beginning point, right? Mm-hmm. So he'll be playing. And even if Justin Fields is imperfect as a real-life quarterback, there's just like one of his limitations as a passer, holding onto the football too long and not being decisive enough, is one of his greatest strengths for fantasy purposes because it means he's scrambling a lot, right? Yeah. And so even if they don't design a ton of runs for Justin Fields, the fact that he is going to probably have a handful of scrambles per game only increases the upside for one of three quarterbacks ever to rush for 1,000 yards in a season.
Yeah, top five in rushing yards among quarterbacks all three seasons in the league, finished QB5 on a points per game basis 2 years ago in fantasy points. Last year, he was QB12, so you're asking top 10. I mean, he was basically borderline that last year, and he was top five a couple of years ago. I agree. I mean, the only one I was struggling with was if he goes to Pittsburgh, and it's going to be very run-heavy there. We know that. That could be a potential limitation, especially with having two good running backs that you could keep busy. But again, he's going to run a lot, too. When they call pass, he's going to run a lot. Really, who gets hurt there is the pass catchers. That'd be dreadful with Fields there and a run-heavy offense. Yeah. It's going to be so tough for guys like George Pickens and Deontay Johnson and, of course, Pat Freiermuth. So that's what I'm keeping an eye on. But I agree. I think when the dust settles, wherever he is, he'll be in the top 10. Maybe just inside, but in the top 10.
Okay. I think you're both wrong for what it's worth. I have Justin Fields outside the top 10. Second amongst quarterbacks in rushing, right? We talked about that. We know how good he is. But averaged under 200 passing yards per game.
Yeah.
Quarterback 20.
A run heaviest offense in the NFL while he was there.
Totally. Yeah. So if he's going to go somewhere else, we're going to assume that hopefully he is in a better offense. But right now, that's an assumption. We don't know where he's going to go. By the way, the teams that have open quarterback positions, are they usually like really good teams that are just stocked full of fantasy talent?
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh and Atlanta, I think, are great. They're probably the favorites.
I got a different Atlanta quarterback, so that's why I'm saving it for later.
Oh, okay.
I got an idea. So
yeah.
I don't love Pittsburgh from that perspective. So when I think about it, right? Fifth worst off target percentage in the NFL last year, likely moving to a new team, new head coach, new terminology, new playbook. These are the guys that I'm like, to me, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, top three, good Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Dak Prescott was quarterback 8.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so there's eight right now.
Yeah,
and then you still have, I think, the conversation
Trevor
starts.
Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Brock Purdy, Herbert. Jordan Love, Kyler Murray, and then Justin Fields. So like you're talking about maybe the very end of the back of the top 10 to me without knowing where he's going to go and understanding how I didn't see him progress the way I wanted as a passer this year. Maybe he does it next year. But for me, I think I would have him just outside my top 10 in the 10 to 12 range. But I understand where you guys are at. And I do want to say this. He very obviously has QB1 upside on a weekly basis, period. It's just the idea of that consistency across the season. You asked about Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. I don't think he can be QB1 for the season, but like he has that QB1 upside. It's just, where is Justin Fields going to end with that consistency in 2024?
I just think if you're comparing him, like where an interesting tier is at quarterback is right around that, like, we'll say 9 to 14 range, where you have Love and Purdy, and you're like, man, I just don't know if they have quite the ceiling because of what they're going to do with their legs. Whereas Fields, you're like, man, he could put up top five numbers over and over and over. We've seen that from him. Whereas those guys, it's kind of like the Phillip Rivers, the Jared Goff sort of thing, the Matthew Stafford thing. You kind of get stuck. Kirk Cousins, you kind of get stuck at like 9, and you just can't push past that because you're not doing enough with your legs. And they do it to varying degrees a little bit here or there. Love ran a little bit last year. But I mean, I feel like Fields just has more upside. That's why I would put him ahead of those guys. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a question mark. That's a question mark. All right, Field, your question number two heading into the offseason right now.
My question number two is, where does Austin Eckler end up, and does he still have top 10 potential? Yes, it is a very, very, very notable running back class in free agency. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. But Austin Eckler has, as we've already discussed, Derrick Henry, was the king of fantasy football for 2 years, as recently as 2021 and 2022 with 38 total touchdowns. So where does Austin Eckler end up? Is that the, like, what allows him to become a top 10 running back? Turning back the clock? Is it where he goes? Is it, there is no chance? Do you guys feel like there's a chance for a top 10 season anymore?
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, he was still sixth in targets last year, so you can ride a lot of targets to a top 10 fantasy season if you hold up. I think that's a key, obviously, that goes without saying. Just sustaining for 16 or 17 games. And landing spots, certainly, if he goes to a place where, let's say he goes, like the dot I connected last week, let's say he goes to Cleveland and Nick Chubb just doesn't come back next year.
Yeah,
right? He just doesn't make it back. Yep. And Eckler just ends up with, you know, whatever, 80 catches and 220 carries. Yeah, he'll probably finish top 10, but that's probably what he needs. But I think I agree with what you've said, which is that now at age 29, coming off that year, he's probably going to have more help than he's had recently. So maybe 140 carries and 60 catches, something like that's probably a more likely outcome.
I think top 10 feels, it's not ceiling, but it's like I don't see Austin Eckler as a top 5 guy anymore.
A lot of things got to go right.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that seems fair.
You're finding in the right position. I still think there's a ton of, I mean, he is still Austin Eckler as a pass catcher if they can utilize him in that situation. But I'd love to see him with the Texans. Go there and kind of be like a 1-2 punch with Damian Pierce. Just add all the things that CJ Stroud has.
I think Pierce is gone. I mean,
Pierce on the roster next year.
He was their third.
And Devin Singletary. Who was the number 2 behind Devin Singletary?
It was Ogunbowale.
Dari Ogunbowale.
Yeah, okay, so if Ogunbowale is ahead of you, then that's a problem.
Yeah, right, I think Pierce's days might be numbered there. Who knows?
All right, so no Damian Pierce, and Devin Singletary is a free agent. So it's just the Austin Eckler show all by himself in Houston.
Yeah, the only thing about the Texans that I'm pretty sure I've like in my mind, like, created this scenario in which they sign all of these running backs, not like at once, but it's like, oh, Saquon and Houston would be nice. You know, Derrick Henry and Houston would be nice.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler and Houston would be sweet.
That's what we did last week on the show.
Correct. Okay. Again, I'm telling you guys, if you don't think the CJ Stroud factor is real right now, I think you're fooling yourself. I think the players want to play with CJ Stroud right away.
Yeah. All right. We have reached that time in the show. We're going to take a quick pause and say, Field Yates, where did Dare Ogunbowale go to college?
I am almost positive that Dare Ogunbowale.
Is this like Jeopardy? Went Daily Double? Like, he actually knows it. He
just Nebraska. And he is from Framingham, Massachusetts.
Dare Ogunbowale went to Wisconsin.
Of course.
And he's from Milwaukee. Nebraska and Wisconsin
I'm confusing him with
the other guys with the Jags. That's a bad one right there.
That's so funny.
Who is the guy?
All right, well, Field Yates is human, guys.
I'm going to think of it.
Should he just leave?
I should leave. that was bad. Divine Ozigbo is what confusing with.
Dummy. What a dummy.
Yeah.
Don't draft either of those guys.
That's right.
Hashtag analysis.
Dang, that was bad.
My number two question for the show. Burning question heading into the offseason. Is Trey McBride a top 3 tight end with Kyler Murray under center next year?
That's an interesting one.
College? That one I know.
Colorado State.
Colorado
State. All right, so here's where I'm at. Kyler Murray returned in week 10, right? Just to make sure that everyone knows. Weeks 1 through 9.
Okay.
Trey McBride averaged 7 fantasy points per game. He had 41 catches in case, excuse me, if you're looking at the screen here, he had 41 targets, 28 receptions, 287 yards, only 7 points per game. From weeks 10 through 18, okay, with Kyler back, he had 53 catches for 538 yards, 2 touchdowns, averaged 14.8 fantasy points per game. Weeks 1 through 9, he was tight end 22. Mm-hmm. Once Kyler returned, he was tight end 3 on a per game basis.
Yeah, I would add some additional context, which is that first stint, Zach Ertz was playing a lot. They didn't really unleash McBride yet. And also Marquise Brown missed a huge chunk of second half as well. So that was a big change. Ertz was cut for the second half. However, I'm with you in the optimistic department here because, you know, he was the first tight end pick the year before. You would expect a year to break out.
Award winner.
And he played great. He was terrific. So I'm optimistic. I'm not going to rank him top 3.
Yeah, there are 2 problems, I think. But yeah, keep going.
I still like him as a mid-range tight end 1. I'm just not going top 3.
Not so quite
just,
that high. Yeah. The two problems with it are just that we actually have like a lot of tight ends now that are really good.
Suddenly,
like Sam Laporta, obviously Travis Kelce with the way that he played at the end of last season. Mark Andrews, if he's fully healthy.
So there's 3 right back, there.
Right?
That's a big 3.
Plus, Evan Ingram set the single season catches record for a tight end. Like, you know, Njoku had a breakout season, et cetera.
George Kittle.
The other part is that it was just Trey McBride, and that was it. Like, Mike Wilson hurt down the stretch. Hollywood Brown, MIA,
that's a part of this,
right? So I'd imagine they beef up the pass catchers this offseason in Arizona.
Number 4 overall pick?
Yeah, that certainly would help, right?
With the idea that Hollywood Brown is leaving here as a free agent, I'd assume they're not bringing him back. Yeah. So then you have the number 4 overall pick. Seems everyone has been mocking Marvin Harrison Jr. to him after the top 3 quarterbacks go.
I'm not ruling out Malik Nabers at that, just for the record.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Just but that, potentially a wide receiver there right because, now, like you explained it, it's basically Rondale Moore, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch.
Georgia Chamber,
right? I mean, so there's not a huge group of people there, which is part of why I like him so much. The idea that,
could change after free agency because they've got lots of money to spend. They have 2 first round picks and obviously a premium pick early in the second round as well.
I will have both Sam Laporta and Trey McBride as top 3 tight ends. As of right now, March 4th, I might have a 3rd tight end that is not Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, or George Kittle inside the top 3. I'll talk about him in a second.
Really?
Ooh, okay.
Wow.
All right.
No Andrews in the top 3?
Maybe. Maybe.
All right.
We'll see.
Fun.
I mean, it's an off season. These are burning questions, guys.
Yeah,
I am a bucket of water.
That's the show. Allowed to be hot right now.
That's right. Yeah, all right. Mike Clay, your second burning question.
Which one's second on my list here?
Let's see. The real quarterback.
Oh, the real quarterback. Yeah, let's play a little game here. You'll play a game?
Yeah.
All right. We have a couple interesting quarterbacks. We just mentioned all of them in that range against, you know, guys like Anthony Richardson and Justin Fields. But they've kind of been on this roller coaster throughout their career. So
busts.
I'm going to give you 3 quarterbacks. You tell me if you think they're going to finish top 5 next season.
And you guys tell me if any of them are not busts.
Okay.
Fair.
Number 1, Joe Burrow.
How did he do last year?
He did not great last year, but very pass heavy offense. And the year before he was top 5.
0 pass yards in week 18 for Joe Burrow last year.
I say yes, top 5 for Joe Burrow.
You say yes. I have him QB5.
Okay.
He's my top 5.
Initial read is no, but it's close.
Yeah. And by the way, I'll say this. He had the poor start last year. He picked it up. He had 2+ passing touchdowns in 5 straight games, ton of passing yards. So I think he cracks the top 5, but it is close there.
I'm with you.
With Richardson, we're going to put in that 5-6 range as well. All right. Next one, Justin Herbert. Think he gets back in the top 5? I mean, he's been there before.
Run heavy offense, no.
I am passing. I think he'll be a better real quarterback than a fantasy quarterback with Jim Harbaugh as their coach.
Yeah, I'm at QB8 on him right now. And honestly, the projections, I'm liking my initial projections run. Yeah. A lot of work to do on it, but he's looking low. It's painful. Keep in mind, he's
already onto his projections for 2024.
Oh, I got the first run rolling here. But yeah,
I haven't even taken down my Christmas tree yet. Mike's already got the projections for 2024.
You know, backup college punters. You've been researching the college guy, so I don't want to hear it. But he has been terrific, but he's been top 5 in pass attempts a couple of years ago when he broke out. His first 2 years he was, and then last year he was 3rd before the injury. I'm with you. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you're going to see more balanced offense now. Not super run heavy, but more balanced.
I think maybe imbalanced, right? Like they can't stop talking about wanting to run the football. Like
they
crazy.
Say that, but that was not, I mean, you look at the Niners when it was Harbaugh and Roman there 4 straight years. They called a balanced offense. They were winning a lot, so they were able to run in the fourth quarter. But I don't know if they're going to do that with Justin Herbert. I mean,
I would hope you let that guy cook.
Yeah. I hope so too. But I'm with you. I think based on all the other options we have and these running quarterbacks, I think he's more of a back end QB1.
Yep.
All right, last one here. feels like an easy one. Maybe I should say top 10 for this one. Okay, Trevor Lawrence.
No to top five.
Yeah, no to top five.
What does that say?
Top 10, but not top five. I don't know if he's top 10 even. Maybe. I'm at 14 right now.
I know.
You mentioned a lot of names there. I mean, if you're going to put Purdy and Love and guys like that ahead of him, Kirk Cousins maybe, depending on where he goes.
Yeah, because it's like he's had so many things set up for him to be successful over the past couple of seasons for fantasy purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Inconsistent. You just don't know what you're going to get week to week from Trevor Lawrence.
Correct.
Like a lot of receiver talent, a very, very highly targeted tight end. A bad defense on occasion, which allows for some shootout potential, and yet you never know what you're going to get.
Do you think if they lose Calvin Ridley, that's going to impact Trevor in a major way, or do you think it won't have as big of an impact?
It depends what else they do there, right? Because is Zay Jones going to stick around his contract? I don't think he has any guaranteed money left, so he could be gone. It could be a shakeup there behind Ingram and Kirk. So, I think they...
Christian
I think
Kirk
they
should
need
keep
to
cooking,
good,
but they need
it'll
another.
Help if he has a good supporting cast. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be as good as last year, though, for him. So... And look, by the way, he's finished 11th and 16th in points per game the last 2 years. So
Trevor Lawrence has.
Yeah, so he's not. And that's with top 10 pass attempts. He's been top 10. Rushing numbers have been top 10 as well. And he still can't put the season together. He can't put an elite fantasy season together. You know, remember, you mentioned the inconsistency. He actually was weirdly consistent in that he wasn't a good fantasy quarterback last year. He had that stint of three straight top six finishes around midseason. His best finish otherwise was eighth.
It's kind of weird how I do that often where when a player is good, like he's talented, but he plays bad, I just call him inconsistent. I should just call him bad. He was bad last year.
It was just
that?
Not good.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. So like, next time I do that, someone call me on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, by the way, Tua, same thing. Bad fantasy quarterback.
Right.
Bad fantasy quarterback. Maybe when it's warm, like the first month of the season, but then it's awful. We'll get into that more throughout the offseason. Yeah,
you almost wonder if like, with the Dolphins, it's kind of like a pitcher going through the lineup the first time. Where like batters are just like flummoxed, like, oh my God, this guy's throwing this splitter that I just can't keep up with. And then by like the second time around, you're like, ooh, I might have this, right? Because Tua's been a notorious hot starter and slow finisher over the past 2 years.
I think it might be literal, like a hot finisher, cold, hot starter, cold. Yeah, think about the offense. It's built on speed, right? Do they just come out strong and light it up while it's warm and then they just fade? That's been the trend for him 3 straight years now.
Yep.
For
Tua. I agree. Yeah.
That's tough. I didn't think about it from that perspective, but when you say it like that, you know, there's also this thing where it's like Tua's got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to be able to throw the football to. So in your brain, you're like, this guy's got a ton of firepower. 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns should be easy for him. But when
Yeah, he did lead the NFL in passing yards last year, right? And he's still a terrible fantasy quarterback.
That's the thing.
Careful now. Yeah.
All right. I got one more.
Okay.
Burning question number three. How high is too high for Drake London and Kyle Pitts if Kirk Cousins comes to Atlanta?
Love it.
Here's where I'm at, right? Okay. End of an era. Okay. Jonnu Smith no longer there, released by the Falcons last Tuesday, just after we did our show last Monday. So it's
future Steeler.
That's get rid of your Pat Freiermuth shares now.
Yeah.
But in 2023, Kirk Cousins got hurt, impacted the entire offense, right? Yeah. We know that. We saw how the Vikings struggled for everything. I want to look back at 2022 real quickly.
Okay.
Justin Jefferson, and I realize he's Justin Jefferson. I'm not comparing Drake London to Justin Jefferson, but he threw the ball a lot.
Did, yeah.
Justin Jefferson was wide receiver one. TJ Hockenson came over in a trade with the Detroit Lions, so this was not an entire season with the Vikings, but he had a great second half of the year, finished as tight end two. For what it's worth, over the last two seasons.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota, Taylor Heineke, and Desmond Ridder, over two full seasons combined, threw for fewer completions, yards, touchdowns, and more interceptions and more fumbles than Kirk Cousins did in a year and a half because he missed over half of the season. Kirk Cousins, when you just look at his ability to be able to find guys within the offense, it is inherently different. I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't know, right?
Kirk is confirmed really freaking good.
Really good. And I understand that from a fantasy standpoint, we just talked about maybe he's not that guy. He's quarterback 12 to 14, but he's like a lock for 4,200 yards and 25 touchdowns every single year.
Yeah.
No, if he comes to Atlanta.
Too high for, I think Pitts is easier than London.
Kyle Pitts would go top 10.
I would think about top 10.
Yeah.
Would you say top 7?
I have 12 now, pre-Cousins. Yeah. Pre-potential cousins. No quarterback.
Could he go top 7 or is top 7 too high?
I just think the position is so strong.
Yeah, not only that, like I'm willing to eat this one bad, but like part of me wonders if he's actually good or not.
Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Not Kirk Cousins.
I mean, I think he is in dealing with injuries last year, and he had the 1,000-yard rookie season.
No,
too.
I know. I'm just like, part of me is wondering, like, and you're right, like the context is fair, but I'm just like, maybe I just tried to make it a thing way too much.
I don't know. I'm still on the optimistic side. I just think he's just ridiculous. And we've seen it. It's like, did he get worse? He's still 23. Like,
maybe
did he get worse? From
they did
age
mention how he was at least healthy. Like at the combine, yeah. Terry Fontenot was like, yeah, or somebody in the Falcons was like, it's good to see that he's healthy now. So yeah, but I would say like, yeah, somewhere in the 8 to 10 range with Kirk Cousins and with Drake London, I would say that like probably we had Mike Evans, who I think could be a good analog for Drake London in the right circumstances. I think top 20-ish is about where he could climb if Kirk Cousins is signed.
I agree, and he might finish wide receiver 8 next year. I mean, remember, this offense is going to be way different. Yeah. I mean, he was handling 25-30% target shares in that offense and averaging under 7 targets per game.
Right.
That was Drake London.
Right.
I mean, he's going to be up there now. He should be able to hit double digits a lot of weeks in a Zach Robinson offense. It's going to be just throw away what you knew about that offense. It's going to be a new offense.
Do you guys worry about a slow start?
With Atlanta?
With Drake London, because he's going to be like,
I don't know. Wait,
like, do I catch the ball when it's thrown to me? Oh.
I think you're being serious.
Like, is he going to be like,
weird. He's like, I'm not used to this. Why are you doing this?
Right? Like, Zach Robinson's going to be like, calling the play in, and Kirk is be like, all right, Drake, like, you know, whatever, running, you know, like X drag, like, you know, he's like, pardon? He's like, it's not the third quarter yet. Yeah. It's the first play of the game. You know that's going to happen, by the way, if they get a quarterback, because the narrative has been so decidedly like, it'll be like when the Rams acquired Odell Beckham Jr. And there was all the questions about whether he had it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like the first game, like Sean McVay threw like 3 straight goal line fades on first and goal from the one. And then I feel like they either caught the third one or they like the next play, like just walked the ball in. It was like, we probably could have just handed the football off to whoever it was the first time, but we wanted to, you know, he's so player friendly is Sean McVay. And I think Zach Robinson, who by the way, just happened to coach for Sean McVay for the past few seasons, will be the same way.
Boy, having Bijan Robinson like behind Kirk Cousins, throwing the ball to Kyle Pitts and to Drake London, we so badly. I get that it would be fun, like from a Madden perspective, to have Justin Fields be the quarterback of the Falcons. We want Kirk Cousins from a fantasy perspective.
Oh, we want Kirk Cousins
to be the quarterback for the Falcons.
Yes, we do.
By the way, a lot of times when you go into free agency, like right now, it's very clear top 2 free agent quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield. Usually it's like they're going back to their old team.
Yeah.
That's not really the case right now. It would not be surprising if, I would say, decent chance one of them. I say the over-under is still 0.5, how many leave.
Yep.
I think there's a really good chance, because it's going to test the market.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
Good chance he leaves. And then Mayfield, he has connections with, you know, Atlanta and elsewhere, so Carolina. So
in the case of Baker especially.
Or not Carolina. Excuse me.
In the case of Baker, though, especially, yeah, Carolina won't happen.
Yeah, obviously.
Having been there and then obviously with Bryce Young. But this is his maybe only shot at getting that $40+ million per year contract. Mm-hmm. Maybe. We don't know. I mean, he could... You know, this could be the beginning of a great, like, you know, sort of second act of his career. But he's, what, 6 years into his career. He signed a very modest deal last year. He may say, like, yeah, I had a great time in Tampa, but if some other team offers me $10 million more per season, then I have to do this, because who knows what, like, I've ridden the roller coaster of football and I can't guarantee that I have another huge offer eventually coming my way. So who knows? But I tend to think that at least one of them does change teams.
Mm-hmm. If one of them, like, and assuming, let's say Baker
Kirk
goes
Cousins
back,
is the one to watch.
Let's say Kirk Cousins changes team. And I mean, this is not one of my burning questions. You guys have one more question to this, but like, does that change anything for you? For Jordan Addison, for Justin Jefferson? Yeah. I mean, for TJ. By the way, we didn't even mention TJ Hawkinson in the tight end conversation because of the injury. I'm not sure how that's going to be, but
100%. Do you think Justin Jefferson's going to like it if the Vikings have it no quarterback in place going into the draft?
Who is it? Jaren Hall right now would be the quarterback? Mm-hmm. There, and who's that going
to
be?
And they're way too low in the draft to even consider.
11, so they'd have to move up. And if you're going to move up, well, you're going to have to move up for that one.
They would have to. Probably have a rookie. Yeah, that would be concerning and would help us kind of sort out the top of the wide receiver board, too, where we're looking at CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
So it'd be CeeDee and Tyreek Hill. I mean, let's be honest. With the quarterback certainty there and the fact that Tyreek Hill.
But I mean, if Cousins goes back.
Oh, Minnesota, yeah. I'm saying.
No doubt.
Okay, Mike, what's your third question? This is important.
All right. Third one for me is, I forget again. Okay, we're talking Packers here. Yeah. All right, we're going to talk Packers. Again, early projection runs, trying to figure this out. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to feed all these mouths in this offense. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a great situation for Jordan Love, and it's going to help his fantasy stock, but I don't know what we're going to be able to buy into. Like, do you just wait until a later rounds and take a flyer on who's left in this offense? But check this out. Here's my pre-injury adjustment target shares for these guys. You tell me who's too low or too high. Watts, Christian Watson, 19%. Jaden Reed, 18%. Romeo Doubs, 16%. Aaron Jones, 12%. Tucker Kraft, 10%, which is low for a tight end. Luke Musgrave, 9%. So basically splitting, hedging on those two. Wicks, 8%. And then the whole rest of the team combined is 8%. So, and you need some scraps for
that.
The one
that felt low to me was Jaden Reed.
I agree. That's what I was going
to
say.
That's a Brown where he was with a healthy Watson last year. He was 15. Doubs was 17 with Watson in the mix last year.
Yeah. And what was the number you just gave me now? 16?
I just gave you 18 for him.
18.
So up from last year.
I'd have to adjust that for like what happened in the first half of the season when he wasn't really playing as prominent of a role.
Well, fair enough. I mean, the first 3 weeks, Watson wasn't playing either. So they were both pretty busy.
Figuring it out. Yeah, I'd like to know what it looked like once he took over.
Fair enough. But okay, so for bump up Reed, fine. Who are we knocking down? Because I think Doubs isn't going anywhere. Wicks played well. You're going to need targets for the tight ends.
Maybe they're just going to be one of those teams that like it's never, maybe they're going to be like the Chiefs.
That's my
light,
problem, though.
Right?
Because I feel like there's going to be hype for these guys, like Reed and maybe Watson post-hype. And obviously Doubs has been good. And, you know, the tight ends for sure are tricky. I mean, like,
Bo Melton's definitely going off is what you're telling me.
Bo Melton, I mean, yeah. Part of that 8% is him as well. Like they, you know, I think they might.
Jawan Renfrew re-signed and just like bring him back.
It's great for the Packers, but I think it's a headache for fantasy. You have to pick a side. On like the tight ends. Who do you like? Do you like Musgrave?
During this time of the year, I don't think about fantasy and headaches. I dare to be optimistic, so I'm not going to let you give me a headache right now.
Okay, fair enough. How about you? Who do you like?
I like Jaden Reed is the guy that emerges to me. My biggest concern...
But he's going to be the most hyped. He's going to go the earliest.
He will go the earliest. My biggest concern, the guy I have the most frustration trying to figure out is Christian Watson.
Of course, yeah.
Because it feels like this guy had a longer career. We haven't seen it like long term, but like he just gives me that like Alshon Jeffrey vibe where it's like, man, you got a bunch of talent, but that hamstring, I have no idea when you're questionable if you're going to roll or if you're not going to roll. Are you going to stop five plays into the game? It's like, you know, the talent is there. But how do I invest a draft pick into somebody that over the last couple of first two seasons of his career hasn't shown me that he can stay healthy? This third year is going to be a big one. And it's going to be one of those things where people that take that chance, if he does stay healthy, that will likely be awesome for them. But that's a concern for me.
When he's been good and on the field, he's been terrific. We saw that 100%. Last year. It just wasn't healthy that much. But you're right. It's one of them things where if it's just a fluke and he has a fully healthy season, he might be wide receiver 11. Like he has massive upside. He was an early second round pick and he looks the part when he's on the field. But is that a real issue? It's not like he came in. He was an older prospect coming into, I think he's 25 now.
Watson is already.
Yeah. It's not like
he'll be 25 in May.
There you go. Yes. Entering his age 25 season. So he is a tough one for sure.
Yep.
Very curious to see what his ADP looks like.
I'll wrap things up here. 2 years ago, I mean, obviously Tyreek Hill in both seasons, but Jalen Waddle went nuts. Last year, Raheem Mostert went absolutely nuts. So which Dolphin is going nuclear this year, and why is the answer Durham Smythe?
All right, next topic.
My answer was Tyreek Hill. I was like, is that too obvious? Can I just say Tyreek Hill is going to be the one that goes?
You know what? Honestly,
I'll tell you who it is.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I feel like Jalen Waddle's flying under the radar a little bit. He's a really good player.
Of course he is. Yeah. But I mean, I guess maybe the better question would be, let's say the Dolphins have Raheem Mostert on the roster next year. He's going to go overdrafted, right?
Yes.
As a result of that. But 32. What would be like the perfect sweet spot for him?
I have him, I think, like 27th in my early ranks. Yeah. Like pretty light. You know, you would expect Achane to be the lead guy.
Yeah.
And then Mostert's going to be, I believe, 33.
He will be 32.
He'll be 32. Yeah.
So it's almost like 27th is actually like the least likely place for him to finish. Like he'll either be fifth or he'll be like 42nd, right? Because like he's either going to have monster week after monster week after monster week like last year, or he's going to be like totally relegated to a third running back role.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll see more, a larger share of the touchdowns will be passes in that offense next year. I think you'll have more Achane. And he's tricky. You're right, though. I'm not going to trust it. Coming off a year like that, I'm fading it. It's like Jamal Williams last year. Yeah, it has the same similar feel to it, same team, but I'll be fading him off that huge season.
Agreed. So here's the thing about Raheem Mostert. 2015, he played 11 games. 2016, he played 3.
Yeah.
2017, he played 11. 2018, he played 9. All of these are way less than the full season. 2019, he played a full season of 16 games, and then 8, 2020, 1 in 2021. The idea that now as a 32-year-old, a guy that has missed so much time, I realize how healthy he was these last 2 years. I don't know that you can continue to count on that.
What do I always say? Once you reach your mid-30s, that's when you stay the healthiest. That's when you're most durable.
When you are at your peak.
Because we're all in our,
I just can't imagine.
Around our mid-30s, 40s. Yeah. We're at our best, right?
No, we are all in our mid-30s. We can ignore the 40 part, whatever.
When was the last time you drafted a 32-year-old running back as a top 20 guy? Season ever.
The only thing is I think, I feel like 10 years ago, we'd be like, okay, we're going to fade him, and it would pay off. But now I think, drafters are so much smarter. They're just not going to. He might be a discount. He might turn out to be a value at some point, was last year, because everyone's going to fade him for that reason. So we'll see what the depth chart looks like.
Speaking of values, Bo Melton went in the 7th round, came out of
Rutgers.
All right, way to go.
His dad went
totally
there.
Totally redeemed yourself.
His brother, I think his mom was actually a soccer or basketball player there
No one needs any of this.
His younger brother, Max. In the top 50 prospects list, which comes out on Wednesday. One of the surprise names. I don't think a lot of people have him in their top 50, but he will be
Max
in my top 50. Yeah,
I love Melton.
Yeah, 4.39 this past weekend.
Field Yates, you are now 2-1 on the season when it comes to random questions on the spot that we did not prepare you for.
It's about Dari Gumbawala. It's bad.
That's gonna haunt you. That's gonna be one of those.
It will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna be back next week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Oh, actually, I'm gonna pause. We're gonna pause. This week, obviously, we got the news, unfortunately, that one of the greats, Chris Mortensen, we lost this week on Monday. Mm-hmm. I did not have the privilege of working with Chris. I met him a bunch of times, interacted with him in the hallway, but I didn't have any, ton of face-to-face, but he was always great, super polite, echoed all the things that I saw on Twitter. But I just wanted to ask you guys if you had anything that you had and wanted to share about the legacy that Chris Mortensen was
behind. So although you go last, you probably knew him a lot better than we did. I had met him several times, chatted with him a little bit, but when I first got here, it's been about 7.5 years. I'd see him once in a while. He was always very cordial. Didn't talk to him much. But one of the first times I kind of bumped into him again, and we interacted very little, just replying on Twitter, very little. I'd barely met him before, just in passing, say hi. I saw him. I was like, hey, Mort, what's going on? Just going to catch, just say hi, chat up with him a little bit. And I didn't realize he was on the phone. I think he was talking to Mike McCarthy or something. He was just on the phone, whatever. And I didn't realize that. I was like, oh, no problem. So I walked away. And the first text he ever sent me was this long message just apologizing for blowing me off. And do you need anything? Happy to talk. We could get together. He doesn't
know.
You
were the one that was inconsiderate. And he was the one that said, I'm sorry.
Right?
To you.
I didn't realize. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I was just on the phone, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. He's a legend. I had just started here. It was unreal. So, but you hear all the stories. That's the kind of guy he was. Just a great person and obviously a legend in this industry.
Yeah. I think he texted emails, right? Two thoughts here. One will be the fantasy thought because while I think Mort probably found some of the stuff a little bit hilarious and ridiculous about fantasy football, he did play in the War Room League for many years. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about Mort was that he marched to the beat of his own drum.
He sure did.
So a few seasons ago, I think it was 2 years ago, he had the 7th pick and he took CeeDee Lamb, a guy that we were all talking about as pick 17 or 20, and he just said he believed in what he believed in. Mm-hmm. And it often worked out very favorably for Mort because he was so well connected. He often had kind of the lead on players before we realized they were going to become breakout stars. So I love playing fantasy football with Mort. And while maybe he didn't necessarily need to eat, sleep, breathe it, he definitely loved it on his Sundays and probably more than he let on. But I'd say this is I think a lot about the industry that we are in. And part of the reason why I love doing the show with you guys so much is that I don't think you guys do this. But I do believe in sports media, we are seeing so much more of the content become sort of attention seeking and making yourself the content creator of the story. There are a lot of people who it's constantly me. How do I turn the story back to me? It's, it's just the kind of stuff that clearly shows there is a thirst for attention. And probably as much as anybody that I can think off the top of my head, Mort was as anti making the story about him as possible. Mm-hmm. Mort was a football guy through and through. He just slept and breathed football. He loved the sport. Obviously, he was a man of great faith and a very, very strong family man. His wife, Vicky, an amazing person. His son, Alex, now the offensive coordinator at UAB, played quarterback with Darren McFadden at Arkansas. But Mort was just pure football stuff. And he'd call you about things that probably could be hashed out in about 30 seconds in the last 20 minutes. So I will miss the football chats with Mort. He was deeply passionate about not just the league, but the future of the sport as well. And I'd say, like, I think social media has a lot of bad to it, but tell you what, like, I looked at the tweet from ESPN PR last night, like maybe an hour and a half after it had gone up, and there was like 10,000 retweets, which, and, you know, about half of those were quote tweets and people paying homage to Mort. So, not that social media is like always the thing that I trust, but I thought in that case it was reflective of somebody who had the respect of everyone.
Yeah, oh yeah. Not one negative. I've never seen a negative word about him.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, even when he was thriving, you know, it's just, he was just a great guy. Yeah.
Even when he waxed me in the War Room League, I was like, you know what? It's okay. Yeah. I'll let it be, Mort.
I saw another text when I was scrolling through looking for that, and one, he like took Miles Sanders like in the second round or something before he broke out. I was like, What do you know?
What do you know?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. There's an awesome piece right now. You just talked about it, Phil, that ESPN PR put out. Adam Schefter voiced it. If you want to go check it out, it is.
If you want to cry, you should check it out. Yes.
Yeah, amazing. You've got a couple of tissues when you do that. Mm-hmm. Shout out, though, to the family and the legacy of Chris Mortensen, because he is a rock star. All right. That's going to do it for us. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back next week. Are you guys with me?
I don't believe so. I think there's a chance I will be on the other side of the country for a pro day. I'll let you guys know. Yeah. So.
All right.
I've never been to Oregon before, but I might be there next Monday.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah. I think I'm here.
All right.
So we'll hang out.
Maybe it's Mike and I. We'll find out next week. Next Monday, we'll have a ton of fun. We love you guys. Be kind to each other. Be good to yourself. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you.